All right, we're recording.
Perfect.
Okay, let me get our screen here a little larger. Right, are we in there?
You're in there. You're looking good. You're a good looking bunch.
Thanks,
You're too
sir.
kind.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I want this to be fun, not take ourselves too serious.
Yes.
And goes, yeah.
Little chance of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, like I said, I can start out. I'm Steve and you're Dean and Chris. And so I want to do this little interview. I've been doing some interviews. You probably see them in the BSN of different guys and gals who have been on a journey. And I find that very encouraging.
Oh,
And
I've enjoyed them. Yeah, I like them too.
Just because we're scattered so far away, and so this is kind of cool for people to see. All right, why don't we start a little bit, just share a little bit of your religious backgrounds. We don't need all the details, but something people can relate to or whatever.
Okay, let me go. I'm Dean for the video, and my background, I grew up in a Christian home, loving family. We went to a Southern Baptist church. I can remember as a kid that being very important. I had a very positive experience growing up as a kid in that church. Also, I remember a lot of the stereotypical things you hear about Baptists, and sometimes I didn't get that, so maybe our family was a little more not as rigid on some of the, I guess, the rules or things like that, so I didn't have that experience. I grew up like that, and then as I got older and was trying to be that good Christian, trying to be, and whatever that meant, that for me that meant being involved in church. I started leading, small groups and men's groups and trying to do things like that to be a good Christian. So that was my start to as far as the scriptures and trying to serve God and all what that meant. I think Chris had a similar start.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, you could take just what Dean told you, and it is my story pretty much as well. I grew up in Presbyterian church. Wonderful childhood. Went to church camp. What was that summer vacation Bible school? All of that stuff. Grew up. Like Dean said, you had this idea of how you were to behave, what you were to do, saw the errors, saw the flaws, saw how I couldn't seem to always do that. I failed at it miserably so many times, and then I'd rededicate and I'd, put my nose to the grindstone, that type stuff. Really, really gonna try, got involved in, men's group at church. We were just recently talking about the different beginning to work through the different Christian programs that were going to help us. And one of a big one was early in mine and Dean's experience together was the
Promise keeper.
Promise Keepers.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so, and if you want information, I guess about us, Chris and I met in 1996.
Okay.
Started working together.
Yep.
And so that was the time. Yeah, I had been married just 3 years. Always remember the date because my first daughter was born in 96. So I met Chris and we started working together, started sharing rides together back and forth to work. And so we were right then in the heat of that journey together, as far as we were just trying to be good family guys, good Christians, and that for us meant, well, now we're going prom whatever the next program is, we were just starting to be involved in that, and that went on for a few years, and that led into some more. We started getting away from more of the, the rigid type rules, not so strict, and we started learning more about the grace of God. And we learned that through, there was people like Bill and Annabelle Gillum,
Gillum.
Steve McVeigh,
Bob, Bob George.
Bob George. There's names like that that we started trying to introduce to our groups, to ourselves. We were learning about these things.
Yep.
And then it was, right around 99 or 2000, I believe, the John Moneypenny, John and Marcy Moneypenny was a part of that, those groups teaching. They were teaching on those kinds of things. But John and some of the people he was with, he come out and introduced Salvation of All. And that's the first time I ever even heard of that. And Chris and I heard it at the same time. We were at a meeting. And yeah, that was fun. That's a funny story in all how that happened. But that's part of my story too. I remember not knowing what to do with it. It caused problems within the meeting a little bit. People were almost in denial. We were with people from the church, church deacons, things like that, a men's group. And so it didn't fit. It was too way too far out. Of course, some of the grace teachings, some people started having problems with, you know, but that was just like what, that was way out there. I remember Chris telling me, he was like, well, what would be so wrong with it? You know, and that just started right then, that's things started. And there was other things personally for me in my life. And that led to where it wasn't too much longer after that. Yeah.
And,
God let us in,
yeah,
let me in on, oh, it's really true. Jesus is the Savior.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that story, we've shared this before on our show. And I think people might think that I was already there by making that statement. And that was not the case.
Okay.
I just, this guy said this, and I started thinking about the ramifications of it and how big a message it is. And I was like, wow, just imagine if that's the truth. And I just kind of blurted out in front of Dean that what would be so bad if that is the truth?
Yeah.
No, why would that be such a bad thing? And it was really Dean. That was like me fumbling the ball to Dean, and then Dean picked that ball up and started running. You know, and then it was my great privilege, you know, because we were always yakking and talking to each other back and forth, going to work and coming back and at work. You know, Dean, it really lit a fire in Dean, and I was able to listen to him tell me about some of these trips he was going on, him and Amy, and he was coming back and saying, "Oh my gosh," you know, he would start sharing. And it was just incredible, the things he was coming back with. And trips and stuff was not ever my forte. I just did not like getting in a car and driving for hours in a car and stuff. So I always had an excuse for why I couldn't make these meetings. Now I hate to miss a meeting. When we have something that comes up, I'm like, oh, I wish I could be there. But yeah, I picked up an awful lot from Dean and Amy's experiences, and then the books that we were reading and stuff.
So when you were contemplating the salvation of all, what was like the final straw that you said, this is true, I believe it? Did you do studying or reading?
I know.
Up in the middle of the night or?
Oh, I know. It brings tears to my eyes, but. Because I think I knew, I started knowing because of John Moneypenny, and he then come out with an article.
His conviction, know. Yeah.
And I remember Chris's statement. So there's a series here. And there was some time that went on. But I remember having a conversation. So I don't know exactly the date on this because I thought Haley was probably 5, 6 years old or something. But I had a conversation with the daughter, Haley. Just an adult, you know, with me. It was me kind of doing it, leading it, of course. It's a little kid. But I kind of had this conversation because that was my upbringing. I mean, I was going to have, the kids were going to have to be saved, you know?
Right.
So this was, she might've been 6, 7 years old or something. Cause I think I thought I was saved when I was 8 or something. So it was during that kind of coming out of that. And because of that relationship of a daughter, I had a little conversation with her. I don't remember exactly what I said or what I asked her, but it had to do with hell. And of course, she did not believe in that. She knew God wouldn't do something like that. And I mean, it sounds weird, but
out of the
that
mouths
was something.
Of babes.
Yeah, I mean, that was That was a moment, and to where all of a sudden that something was coming on to where this is really true, and these things that John's saying, it's true. And I was excited. I told, yeah, I was.
Mine was again much like him. I can't tell you a date or an hour or a time that I went, oh, there it is. It was,
Yeah, it was a series of things.
yeah. In a recent show, I said, now we oftentimes we turn to scripture to confirm things. And all of a sudden I started finding these verses. People were sharing verses. This guy was. Other people were sharing, like 1 Timothy 4:10. 1 Timothy 2:4, Colossians 1:20. I mean, Romans 5:18 and 19. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm reading these verses, and I'm like, man, this 1 Corinthians 15:22. That sounds like there's something going on here I ain't been told about. I haven't gotten all the facts, or so these. Reading those verses, again, they were confirmation about a bigger truth. And then that sort of lit my fire. And then I'm kind of a reader, so I start reading, and I start going to scripture and looking these things up. And that got me into two gospels. That got me into the idea that Paul, being a choice instrument of God's, he had a different message, and it was for a different people. And then, Martin, we were talking to Martin at that time, and Martin was able to help me with that message that we've got two different messages here, and there are two different people. And that was a big one that came on for me, was the two messages, and it's very specific people and for a very specific dispensation. And that
So
was
that
all.
would have been the next truth you would have kind of latched onto for coming from.
That I would say, yeah, I went from the salvation of all when I felt like, okay, this is what it is, and then it sort of snowballed into the two evangels, one of Peter and one of Paul, and that they were different and they were for a different people, and it's amazing what God is teaching me about that today. I'm so keyed into the Acts period right now, and I'm so looking at that. And when I'm reading Paul's early letters, I am so critical reading for Jewish material in his speech, in the things that he's saying, all of that being the operation of God. All of that, is Father leading me on this journey. I think after that was sovereignty. That's where I go today. That's my bulwark, is the sovereignty of Father. I think I've said before on my phone, I started collecting verses, and I put some under sovereignty, and then I put some under two gospels, and I put some under all will be saved. And then one day I realized, you know what? I can take all of these away except for sovereignty, because everything it goes under sovereignty.
That's the foundation.
And then as far as the timeline, yeah, me, I come on to salvation of all, God just put it to where I know it's true. And then online, I started finding more, then all of a sudden there was this whole new world opened up. You start researching a little bit. So that's when I found, after John Moneypenny's article and stuff, then I found Tent Maker. I can remember that site. And some other things. I was all trying to learn about hell and how hell's not in scripture, and the hell that I thought, the way I defined it, or the way it was defined for me. It's like, that's not what they're really talking about. So that was all online. And that's when I met on through online, and there's all these other people that's out there, and it's Martin and Clyde and Dan Sheridan at the
What year
time.
do you think that was?
That was probably 2000 and, yeah, two or three. I
The
could look back,
Birmingham
yeah. When I could look back at
conferences
when
were going
conferences,
on.
then I found these guys, and it's like, well, yeah, look at all, there's all this material everywhere. And like I said, I'm coming out of the Christian church, I'm coming out of things at the same time, and then I'm seeing all these things online. All this information, I was eating it all up. Yeah, just loving it, and then going to these conferences, and I'm just like, oh, I can't believe this stuff. And
Yeah.
that's the part of the journey that Chris talks about. He would hear me coming back.
Yeah.
I'm telling him all this
Oh, he'd
stuff,
bring back books and
and I'd be like,
I'd
this is wonderful.
yeah. Concordant.org was a big site for me when I
Yeah, all
found
that
all
was,
the articles on
yeah.
it, you know, and there was it's such a rich every now and again I throw money at them because I love the work that they're doing over there. And that was a big site for me because I found tons of articles, you know, the truth about death.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff there. So I want to plug that site. That is a tremendous site. And of course, Clydesite's study shelf. I'm on that all the time now. So I'm loving the journey now.
So how do you how
That's
has
a
your
good question.
journey since you started on this journey, how has things changed as you've kind of grown and evolved and you know from in the last 10 or years, let's say, and how your focus may have changed or
All right. Yeah, I'll try to talk about that too without trying to be short. But yeah, I was the salvation ball hit. I knew Jesus is the Savior. Then it seemed that I'm following, I'm learning from other people. And it was years later, like Chris said, and I can remember him coming on. That was a big deal to him, this two gospel message to where, wait a minute, all the scripture is not written to me type deal. So that resonated with us maybe in different ways or whatever, just based on our experience. So that was years after though, salvation of all. That was down the road a little bit. And then it became this idea I got the more I got into some things, you know, I kept seeing, and it's the typical message. You start seeing like, oh, wait a minute, you know, this wasn't right what I used to believe or what I was told. And then it goes to where, well, there's nothing right. Nothing's right here. So something in me though wanted to. I don't like injustice. I don't like lies. I don't like any of that.
Sure.
So I didn't take the time though to look at, like we read this morning, scripture about deceiving while being deceived, things like that. That, you know, I wasn't seeing the whole picture. I just started seeing like, well, I got the truth now, and I was ready to fight. You know, it was just something in me to really. Now it was from a good heart. I wanted to show people truth because I was just, this was wonderful.
'Cause you knew they were going to be as happy as you were to find this
Yeah.
out, you know.
And so then the more that there was a little resistance, obviously, I understand now why, but so there was resistance and things. Well, I started getting deeper into more of the fight, more of the us versus them. Now all of a sudden I got something and they don't. And so then I started into a fight to where it almost led to where, you know, I started making like, then you feel like you're persecuted or whatever. I don't think anything like that now. Now it's all a joke to me, that time period. I'm glad God brought me through that. But
So
that's a
what
short
kind of
objection.
instigated that change? Was there
Peace.
something that happened that started think you getting thinking a different way or?
Well, I guess the farther that I went, some of the things I was starting to do and say, I knew there was conflict within, you know, my own family, my parents that loved me dearly and supported me throughout my journey, regardless. But, you know, there was conflict. So that was a big one.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what it is. Now, if I really dissect, there was conflict. Now at the time I thought, well, this of course there's conflict. They're not seeing, you know, they're believing lies. They're under blah, blah, blah. So I'm gonna battle them. And I love them, my mom and dad. So I gotta, you know, I want them to see this truth that I'm seeing. But I wasn't doing that in, I don't know how to talk about it. It wasn't in the right way or something, as far as I wasn't looking at it in the right way.
We've examined this on our show a lot,
Yeah, it's hard to.
just between us, and we've talked about how important it is we look for assimilation. You know, we want to be on the same page with each other, you know. And boy, that's not the way it is, you know. And that was difficult, especially with loved ones, you know, and then good people you love say things and you're like struck, you know. told not to, don't share this stuff with my kids, you know? And you're sitting there thinking, well, it's weird. You know, it was some weird stuff
Right.
to be. And many in the BOC, they're smiling right now because they've run into this
Oh,
exact
yeah.
same scenario over and over again. But then you get some distance and you get some time, you know, and father opens more and more doors, you know, and you get a backup from it and you get to see it in a bigger light. And we just mentioned the sovereignty of father. I have to go there
Yeah.
for it all to make sense to me and for me to be okay with it. You know, I'm getting finally, thank God, I'm getting to the place where I'm getting more and more comfortable to allow people to be where they're at, you know. And then not just that, but just keep loving them,
Right.
you know, to love them right where they're at, just like father does, you know, and they're on their journey.
I think that, and then back to, I hope I didn't cut you off, but the question, then you're saying maybe how or when or
Yeah.
why,
Or yeah.
because, and I don't know how to answer it other than, yeah, it's sovereignty of God. It was time God let me go so long, or let Chris go so long, you know, to where it was, he started letting us know, like, wait a minute, they're exactly like my parents or whoever it is we're going to talk about. They're exactly where they need to be. And I got them there. And I started seeing that without realizing that's what was going on. And it was amazing what happened when all of a sudden I backed off.
Oh gosh. Yeah,
Well, then
so
all of a
true.
sudden everything was just like, oh, well, wait a minute. So the whole time it was like me. I thought everything else was the problem,
Yeah.
but it was me. So relatively, I mean, it's all God, but he
Right.
uses people and you're one of them. He used you early, you know, just recently when we met you, some of the things you told me, Clyde, you know, different individuals like that, just hearing their journey and what they've gone through. You know, so if I would name people along the journey, it's meeting other people and hearing things. So there's a
Yeah.
process. So I don't know specifically how to answer like what happened, but yeah, I look back now and yeah, that fight, that's not my fight anymore.
Right.
God is got everybody exactly. They should be where they're at. I'm not getting persecuted in any way, shape, or form by anybody that thinks what I believe might be nuts or not right. Of course. I there's so many things I don't know. I'm deceived. You know, I don't have all truth.
Exactly.
God's haven't He has not given it to me yet fully. There's so many things that I don't know.
Yeah. I think, and we've talked about this too, that our religious upbringing kind of shaped as this new truth came on. Then we put back on the Christianity of now we got to herald this message.
Yeah.
We've got to, you know, get the word out there, you know, that. So we've talked about all the time trying to untangle so much of the stuff that we learned before. And that used to just frustrate the snot out of me. And then I'd be so angry at, like, why did you have me in that system if it's going to cause so much problem for me to learn these truths now? Well, now I'm like, man, it was the perfect backdrop for these truths because truth really pops against error. So now I'm so grateful for all that and all those people that were beautiful, sincere, loving people that meant the best for me, and they were deceiving me while they were being deceived. You know?
Well, and I like how you talked earlier about the sovereignty of God and how that is the foundation for
Ooh.
everything. And I can, you know, for me, I understand where you're at. The more that becomes a part of me, the less I get frustrated with other
Yes.
people's where they're at or how they respond or all that kind of thing. So.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's happening for us now too.
Yeah.
It's a lot more peaceful.
Yep.
Yeah. So, what are you, recently, what are you thinking about? What are your most recent revelation or realizations that have, that are really kind of taken over?
I mean, like I said, Chris and I, we're seeing more and more of how much of the scriptures are not to us,
Mm-hmm.
you know, at all. But What's really cool, we're seeing more and more how it's all for us. So it's all so cool, every bit of it. So we love it all, you know, want to learn more. So that's really big though. It's amazing how much I'm reading. I'm like, this is not written to me. This is not me. This is not me. This is not me. You know, it's a small window there of what was going on, this transition of with Paul and Peter and everything that was going on there. It's an amazing time there. So I'm learning more about that. I guess a big one that's a little bit of controversy that I know that I've always known. I didn't know how to say it, but I've always thought and believed in death, and I know my death is coming. I know I'm gonna die. So that's a big belief that not everyone, that's different, I think, as far as belief.
Let's that was one of my questions. I mean, we're all getting older. When you think about dying, you know, because I've been thinking about that a lot. You know, I'm halfway through my 60s, and you know, and I'm starting to have a few little health issues, you know. So when you think about dying, what do you th I mean, how's that make you feel?
That's a great question too. I mean, we have talked a little bit. I mean, I had a heart attack in 19 and triple bypass, and a couple years later I had COVID and spent eight days in the hospital with COVID trying to stay off a ventilator. So you know, you would think about these things, you
Right.
know. And I can honestly say that there was, I really did have a piece about the realization that if this is it or when I'm fine, you know, and I could look at my life and be very grateful. I had a very meaningful talk with my wife the morning before they rolled me back for triple bypass surgery. I said, look, you know, this is a routine surgery. More than likely I'll be talking to you this afternoon. But if for some reason this all goes south, I don't want, I want you to know I'm so fine. I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna miss a lot, you know, but I'm so okay with what's gonna transpire later on. So I don't want you to be upset about, you know, that. I mean, I know you're gonna be upset, you're gonna miss me. I get all that, the emotional part of it and stuff. But I really, you know, I'm not afraid of that like I had been before. Now, obviously, we're afraid of how we might die, you know, car wreck or drowning or whatever, whatever the situation may be. If we all want to go in our sleep, if we can arrange it ourselves. But boy, I'm not afraid of it at all anymore. There was a fear, a profound fear for a long time, and I've talked to people who have a great fear, and it just doesn't exist for me anymore.
That was big for me, you know, when I learned what death really is. It's not going to another place, you know, and so much of my life I was like, well, you know, dying ain't so bad. I'll like that. I'll be, you know, jumping from cloud to cloud or whatever. And so, but you know, in reality, all right, we got 10 minutes left. In reality, that's kind of what it is anyhow, if you die, because your next realization is going to be,
Yeah, waking up.
yeah, you're going to wake up. So,
Yeah, I think the same thing. So my quick answer to the death thing, I do think about it, and I have lately. So it's probably a typical, like we said this earlier too, a typical human experience or whatever. I just have the emotions around it. I probably, yeah, there's, when it does hit my mind, I'm like, oh, there's all these things that I think I should have ready for the family in case I die. Like, I'm not ready. Not ready yet. So that, I think that's a typical. So I do think all those things, all the emotional things, either way, I think about other family members dying, you know, how I'd feel, and then if I die, how they feel. So it's all an emotional thing that I think about that really does. I think about it a lot. But yeah, I'm with Chris. There's not, you know, a fear. It's going to be, yeah, cool to wake up together with people. next step. So I do have some joy in thinking about some of that. But yeah, there's nothing in me that's ready, I want to keep doing what God has me doing, and each day, and this experiencing what I'm supposed to experience here. So
Well, and I think the like I don't have regrets like I thought I did years ago because
yeah, good point.
the sovereignty of God is, all my mistakes, and I've made some big ones, but that was all part of God's plan for my life. And so I won't be lying there thinking, well, I wish I'd have done that or wish I'd,
Right. Right. That's a great point, Steve. I appreciate you sharing that, because that is exactly, it does put regret in its proper place,
And I know I screwed up a lot, but that's part of that's I mean, I heard you talked about being back in the all the grace teachers and all that years ago. I heard someone say, our contribution to grace is our sin. And that's kind of like at the end of life, God's grace in my life is because I screwed up a lot. And
Exactly.
So, wow, this has been good. So, Chris, tell me what you appreciate about Dean.
Oh gosh. I
Any
think
pet peeves you have, too?
that I think I bet I tick him off more than he ticks me off. That's joke me joking. You'd never see it. You'd never. That was our joke at work, that Dean has this real steady tone. He doesn't appear to get excited one way or another. While on the inside, Dean assures me all the time that he's all over the place. The joke was always that Dean was real controlled and level and all that stuff. And so we would have people at work say, Dean would start to tell something, and they'd say, Dean, tell Chris, and we'll have Chris tell us, because we'll enjoy it
Yeah.
lot better. What I love about Dean, lots of things. One of them is his accessibility to me. So many of you talk about being out there alone, I've not had that. I've had a brother and his wife, a sister, right here with me for the whole journey. And I know to count that as a blessing. And so I can't tell you how much I look forward to coming over here on Sundays. And I bet we talk for 2 hours in his kitchen before we ever come downstairs and turn on the camera. And it's like catching up with each other. And he is so very sincere. Anything he's talking to you about, there's no pretense. It's sincere. I can trust whatever he tells me. And I really appreciate that, and how accessible he makes himself to me. Love that. And then you fall in love with his family, his mom and dad. We're going to be celebrating his mom's birthday next week, and I'm going to be there. His sister Lynn and her family. It's fantastic.
All right, Dean, what do you appreciate about Chris?
That's tough follow. Tough follow there. Yeah,
Mm-hmm.
a lot of the same things, like you said, being able to share with someone so close. Chris is always there for me, for anybody. He would do anything. It's not like he's not busy. He's got like what, 9, 10 grandkids or something. I lost track. I mean, kids and grandkids, and what he has going on in his family, it is amazing in itself. Amazing family, great storyteller, like he alluded to. Unbelievable storyteller. We haven't tapped into that yet for the show, because he's a tremendous storyteller. But what I really, appreciate about Chris, he is, I mean, super caring. He can always be there, to listen to somebody, especially when you have some kind of problems, or if I have something personally, my kids or problems. And he has a way to talk with people, put them at ease, listen to them when they really need, when they need to be listened to, and help them. He can help them. He knows what to say. Like, I don't even know what to say sometimes, my own kids or whatever. Chris was there for me. I can vent to him about something, and he has a way to just all of a sudden say the right thing. I see him do it with his own kids. He can talk to them, say. So I really like that about him. Anything else?
That's enough. I'm just
yeah, okay.
I'm going to be walking on clouds here when you
Yeah, I don't want your head to get too big. My wife and I are kind of a Sunday morning rituals to eat breakfast and then sit down and watch your show. And
Oh,
that kind
cool.
of alleviates any guilt we have of not going to a church service somewhere. But so we really appreciate that. Do you have any, like, where do you see your show going? Do you have any vision for it, or are you just kind of going along, or what?
We talk about this all the time. I mean, I'm all the time, both of us are talking about like interjecting humor, because both of us, crack each other up. We wisecrack. It's hilarious. And I think that, we could put some of that in the show. Dean does too. And I think people would enjoy it and still
Sure.
be, around the truth and stuff. So I kind of, we talk about that from time to time.
We don't know. We honestly don't know
Honestly, don't
right
know.
now. I think we are, not to speak for Chris, but we kind of wonder, like, what are we doing? I mean, that's really happened within the, it's been a time, it's gone for some time now. What are we doing? Because somehow the motivation when we started is different. Now we have, it's different.
It is
We
different.
don't have to do this. We don't feel, we know it's not gonna, we can quit doing it. There's no pressure really either way, whether we're going to continue to do it. We don't really know why, even. So when we are doing the show, I mean, the only now motivation, we do want to be an encouragement. We want, that's all we want to be, just encourage somebody in some sort of way, just listening to us. That's now kind of our bottom line. So with that, we don't really know what we're doing. So we just get together and talk and turn on. So we may form into something else, or we may just get into some other things.
I
I
think,
don't know.
one of those things all of us know, if we've been around long enough, someone shares something and you go, "Oh, that's exactly how I feel. I have felt that very same thing." And that is so comforting to us as human beings. We get trapped in our head like we're the only one that thinks this way. I'm the only one with these problems. And there's something very comforting to know someone else is facing the same thing, And so I think that also has played a part in us sharing from our journey and from us looking at it in that way. Because we're pretty sure that sometimes when we spit something out, someone else is going, "I'm going through that. I've gone through that. I'm about to face that," and it can be an encouragement to somebody. So that's also in our minds.
All right, this would be a good time to take a break because our time's about up.
Okay.
So, is there anything else we need to talk about? You think we've covered it pretty good?
Pretty good. I mean, I don't know, you with us knowing, where we're going to go with the show.
Yeah. I think I've all the questions I have here have been answered. So,
Okay.
I appreciate it, guys. It's been